The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised. Hey guys, here I am, sitting poolside. I've never had the chance to say that. San Diego Comic-Con, or I guess, sorry, I got to brand it correctly. Comic-Con International San Diego. I'm here with Pia Guerra. I think I'm saying that right.
Yeah, Guerra is usually how I go. I know a lot of people like to roll the R's and be polite. It's like, oh, it's okay. You don't have to knock yourself out.
Currently, she is, right now from Image, you have United States of Me coming out, which is... Me the People. Sorry, I've put that in my brain so wrong that in my notes I have it scratched out, which I should probably.
It's actually a really great title. After it went to solicit, someone said, "You know, there's another book called Me the People," and it's like it's an older kind of humor book. Like, oh shit, I hope it's okay. And like, but now that you say that, like, wow, that's a great title. But it's too late to change it, unfortunately.
Sorry, I didn't come to you sooner.
I'm the artist. I'm not the writer in the family. So,
Me the People is a collection of your political comments that you've done for the Nib, and then also you are probably best known for being the artist on Why the Last Man. So I'm going to start off with the old stuff first. So with the with kind of the optioning for it of a TV show and the casting that it was announced today, how does it feel to know that such a popular book is being made into a show?
It's kind of nice. We've been kind of sitting on this for about 12 years now, because New Line had picked it up as an option to make it into a film back in 2003, 2004. And we kept hearing over the years, like, oh, so and such a director is on board, and this guy's on board, and wow, but then another director would come on. And so we did that for 10 years, and I think got to a point where it's like, well, if it happens, it happens. So I think I'm still kind of got a little bit of that holdover with this, like, well, if it happens, it happens. We'll see. But I'm excited. I love everything that FX has put out there. Legion's one of my favorite shows. I love that the amount of they don't really step over the creative people involved. They just let them do what they got to do. I have high hopes. We'll see. I'm not really that involved. I mean, they give us some teases here and there. They let me see an early script last year, and I loved it. Michael Green would put together. So we'll see what happens, how much it's changed. The casting's interesting. But other than that, you know, I don't have a seat at the table, so I have no decisions in the process. I just get to kind of occasionally get glimpses and go, "Ooh, that's cool."
So, with kind of the transition from Why the Last Man into Me the People and the things that you've been working on now. Yeah, I said that right. Sorry, I had to think about if I said the right title again. With that transition, like, how did you, like, get involved with working with the Nib and, like, then further down the line, you know, getting it put out by Image?
Yeah, well, since Y ended, I've just been doing little projects here and there, usually doing covers for comics or doing short arcs or even doing layouts for friends, helping other friends get their deadlines met, which has been awesome because... you know, it's 6 years logging on Y was a very traumatic experience, even though it was wonderful and valuable and I loved it. But it was really hard work and not something I wanted to do again. I didn't want to jump on another series. So I've been doing just light work over the last few years. And over the election cycle, I was doing more political cartoons. I think before then, I would do political cartoons for friends. I would post them on Facebook and Twitter or have them in a sketchbook. You know, if something made me really angry, I would draw about it and share it. And but it never occurred to me to do this as a career, because I just thought that's a really very different industry. It's nothing that I've been trained for. I've been doing comic books for close to 30 years now, and that's my forte, but that just seemed like a mystery. Like, you must have to go to do political science in university and know the news inside and out, or have a specific degree or something to do that sort of work. And it wasn't until years of, like, just fiddling with it, and every time I draw something, I would look at it and go, well, this doesn't quite look like what newspapers are doing, but I'm just doing what I'm doing. But then about 3 years ago, I saw a documentary on Herblock, The Black and the White, and it was like, oh, that's how you do it. That's the approach. That's what I wasn't figuring out. He has a very basic way of looking at at subjects. He's not, you know, he doesn't have a degree. He just kind of started doing this since he was a kid, basically, and then he got jobs through the decades. And I just loved how he figured it out, how to look at a news item, how to get to the heart of it, how to draw about it. I'm like, oh, okay, I think I'm going to try doing more of this. And I did some after the Charlie Hebdo shooting, so those kind of passed around a bit. I did one after the Hobby Lobby thing about with Wonder Woman flipping the bird, and that got passed around. And it's like, oh, this is kind of fun. I should do more of this. And when the election cycle kind of really ramped up, I was working on a book, so I didn't have a lot of time to do these cartoons, but I had a lot of ideas for one, and I would do every now and then. And then after the election, I was just so pissed, like, I should do more cartoons. And then I just started doing them more regularly on Facebook. And then they started getting shared like crazy. And after the inauguration and then the Big Boy cartoon came out, that's when the NIB asked me if I would mind being a regular. And it just kind of came out of the blue. I didn't think I could do it.
So, Why the Last Man, it packs a pretty serious punch, like, artistically. You know, it builds the characters a lot through the art, like, you know, because the characters are so, like, visually distinctive, you know, that's part of what attaches you to them. Being able to tell a story over so much time and so many, like, pages of sequential art, your political comments pack, like, massive heavyweight punches in one panel. Like, how do you approach doing, like, attaching those ideas in one panel versus, like, the length of sequential art?
Well, what I figured out is you got to find the thing that grounds it, that makes it personal for the reader. It can be a detail, it can be something that just makes them think about their life or how it connects to them. I think that's the best way to go around it. I think the best way I can compare it to is, like, there was a news article about the Dunblane shooting back in the early 90s, or no, mid-90s, and in Scotland. And it's like, it was a horrible story. I was reading about it in the newspaper, and I was like, oh my goodness, oh, this is bad. Like, so many kids, and oh. But it wasn't until there was one little tiny detail that just, like, jaw-dropping, and just put you on the floor when you read it. And it was really simple. They talked to a paramedic who walked in and saw this massacre of 5-year-olds. And all these kids, and some were still alive and sitting. There was one kid who was sitting there, cross-legged, and he wasn't crying. He was sitting there, and he was pointing at a hole in his arm. And he was confused because he didn't understand why there was a hole in his arm. And that thing just, I just fell apart when I read that. And that's the trick. You find the thing that makes it real. That one detail that makes you think about it, in the, like, you put it in your context. And so you have to kind of really look at a story and go, well, how do I feel about this? How would I feel in this situation? Or, like, with the Parkland shooting, you know, I just think about these kids. And they're like, I have a niece who's about this age. How, oh my God, you know, put yourself in those shoes and find the detail. And then the image just comes up.
You know, it's interesting. I get made fun of on the show because I'm super emotional. So if I break down and then make fun of myself, that's why. But, you know, with the Parkland shooting, I have a 16-year-old daughter, and my wife cried every night for like 2 or 3 days because it was so visceral because, like, you know, when I say goodbye to my kid, is this going to be the last time? You know, and you had a comic that spoke specifically to that. Have a great day at school. Hopefully I'll see you tonight, or, you know, when, you know, you're looking, like, dead on into the face of, like, just the horror that is the shit show of our country right now. Like, you know, how do you, like, bolster yourself day to day? Like, when you're looking at it, like, how do you, there's got to be a moment where you take the breath and ground yourself. Like, what do you do to, like, move forward to tomorrow?
I do the cartoons. That's the thing. When I was so angry after the election and just, like, felt helpless and like, well, if, you know, all these people voted against him, and how can this possibly happen? And you just feel this wall of, like, there's nothing we can do. This is just going to happen. And then I think about, and I do the cartoons, and I feel a little bit better. But then I share them, and other people feel better because they're laughing too, and and I think it's where you're all feeling like you're on the same page. You're not crazy. This is not normal. And I think that's a great way to vent the frustration, is to be able to have an outlet to take this anger and despair. Because what happens is, if you have all this anger and just you have nowhere to express it, it turns into depression and eats you up inside. It eats you alive. So you have to find a way to vent it. It can be a dumb joke. It could be a cross stitch. It can be some funny cookies. It can be anything. As long as you're putting that what you're thinking out there and sharing with people, and you see that other people are connecting to it, you feel so much better. And if anything, all of these cartoons are therapy. This is I am actually feeling really great after these last years. And yes, there's still a lot of horror out there, but I found a way to cope with it, and this is what I do.
Obviously, in the Twitterverse, you catch a lot of flack from a vocal minority of fucking idiots.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, fuck those guys. Yeah. Like, who cares what they think? What I want to know is, what's one of your favorite positive reactions that you've had to one of your cartoons?
Okay, I love this one. My sister and I went to the Women's March, first one, right after the inauguration. We heard about this thing, and like, let's go yell at that asshole. Like, yeah, let's do it. It was just a real... It was our birthday party. That's right.
That's awesome.
I forgot about that. And so we just decided on the fly to go. I could barely afford it, but we went anyway because we had to. And took one of my early cartoons. I'd just done a handful by then. And this one was it was called Liar Liar. It was a picture of Trump and his pants are just in a giant fireball. And just put Liar Liar. We made it into a couple of signs. And we're like, we're going to go with them and carry these signs. And we got there, and every 10 feet, people were stopping us and taking pictures of this sign. And it felt like cosplaying at Comic-Con. It was really fun. But the best was when there was this little kid stopped in front of us with his mom. And he was looking at it, and it's like, Mom, what does it mean? And so she was really kind, and she went like, okay, so what does it say? And he said, liar, liar. Like, you just barely read this, kid. And then the mom asked, what's happening in the picture? And he looks, and his eyes got really wide. He's like, his pants are on fire! And I'm like, oh, that was so great. I felt really good. I made a 6-year-old, 5-year-old laugh with an editorial cartoon and, like, couldn't feel better. So that was one of the highlights.
So what are you most looking forward to with the release of your book from Image?
I was originally thinking of doing a collection at the end of his presidency to kind of as a chronicle from beginning to end. Then it kind of felt like when I saw the midterms coming up, we don't know what's going to happen afterwards. Maybe it's a good way of like being there as a motivator to get people to go and vote, to think about these issues, think about what's been happening over the last 2 years, especially since so much of it is easy to forget because of the next scandal, the next thing, and the next thing. So here's a reminder of where we're at and what's happened up until now. And if you felt anything when you saw these cartoons then, take it with you to the polls and vote next month when it comes out.
You know, it's really interesting. I was going through, you know, the on the Nib site, I think maybe on the Tumblr or something like that. And I went backwards, like from, you know, your most recent one all the way back. And like every like 5 or 6, you know, cartoons, I was like, oh, that did happen.
Yeah,
oh, holy shit.
Like, too. I've been putting this book together. I was like, oh, right. I forgot about that. Oh, my God. Yes. Because that's what this cycle is so counting on is the Trump administration, I think, survives just by the fact that it keeps something new and outrageous happens, and that makes you forget the last outrage. And then by the time you start to process this outrage, here comes another one. I think that's part of the strategy myself. I think it's like I've been talking about this online. It's basically psychological blitzkrieg. It's coming at you from all angles. During World War II, it was land, sea, air, attack from all borders, from all sides. You don't even need to have a giant force, but if you're coming in all at once, you demoralize and depress an enemy that way and take over. They just give up. And that's what's happening here, only it's psychological territory. It's all this information. It's coming in from all these different directions. It's not just distractions. It's all part of the strategy. Throw everything on the wall. Let's see what sticks. And then what it does, you get to the point where they're not trying to make you look away from a certain thing. They're just trying to make you look away from everything because you're just tired of it. It worked for the election cycle. We saw that happen every day, something new and crazy. And by the end of it, I think we're all just so tired. Who wanted to vote? And, you know, that momentum was just so like hobbled. And I think that was a big part of the election too. And it was just too much crazy, and it just keeps on going. And I just want to breathe. I think everybody wants to breathe again. And yeah, that's what the cartoon, like the book, is basically there for to do. It's like, remember what happened. Don't forget all these things and that you were angry then. The reason why you were going to take that anger and bring it to the polls. Don't forget to take it to the polls.
Well, Pia, thank you very much for your time. How can people find you and find out more about the book?
I am on Twitter very regularly at Pia Guerra. I am on Tumblr at HK Studios. I think there's an S in there. But you can find those links on my actual Twitter profile. That's what I do. And I'm also at the Nib. I'm a semi-regular contributor at thenib.com.
Well, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.